On Talk Radio 98.5 and 1240 WRTA, it is WRTA weekend, and it's time once again this month for Money Matters. This is from ARC Federal Credit Union. Lisa Kaffhammer is with us once again. Hello.
Hi, Doug. How are you?
All right. And aside from melting, that's another story. But this particular Money Matters, we figured that we would talk about the topic of paying it forward. We've talked about paying yourself, saving for the future, not getting into credit card trouble, a few other things involving debt. Mm-hmm. And this is a little bit different as opposed to just paying yourself, although this is a way of paying yourself because you're getting to help other people. What do you mean by paying it forward?
Well, whenever you're saving money, you're getting that budgeting organized, sometimes it almost feels selfish, right? Everything's focused on you and again, it's a very personal outlook on that, I know.
Yeah.
But you do kind of have to have your own house in order before you can start taking care of others. But once you do reach that point, you do want to remember that a big part of being part of a community is reaching out and supporting and donating and being involved with charitable causes, not just because, I don't know, I mean, as I don't want to say just a decent human being, but you do want to help people who are less fortunate than yourself. And it really gives you a good feeling to know that you're contributing to your community. And there are just so many different ways to pay it forward, even if you're not necessarily at that financial point where I have a nice safety cushion, I've got a good savings account, I've got everything in order. You don't necessarily already have to be to that point to start being able to give back.
And it depends. There are some people that tithe 10%.
Mm-hmm.
Their religious organization has said that this is the right thing to do, and people do that first off. This could be that or in addition to.
Correct.
How do you choose what you want to do? I mean, if I had to sit down and write 10 causes I thought were great, I would come up with 25 in a very short time.
Oh, I know. And it seems like there's always something, some new worthy cause showing up every day that you just think, oh my goodness, that they need help. They need, you know, money or support somehow. And it is very much a personal decision as to what do you feel most drawn to? What do you feel most passionate about? And finding a reputable organization that is affiliated with that and either making monetary donations, donating your time. There are options. I understand not all of us are able to sign a check every month to say, hey, I'm going to send you, you know, $50 or $100 every month for your organization. But sometimes being there in person, volunteering at the soup kitchen or, you know, donating your time to organizations like one that sticks out in my mind because I was just reading about it is the Healing Patch locally that works with kids who are going through grief. They need people a lot. You know, they need those interactions.
Well, you've mentioned on this show before and other of our guests have talked about how your time is worth something. And I don't mean in the sense of, well, time is money, the cliche. Mm-hmm. I mean that it is worth something to yourself and to others.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And so even just something as simple as doing like a random act of kindness throughout the day, it doesn't have to be I'm dedicating, you know, one Saturday every month to go to the soup kitchen. That can be, and that's wonderful. It could just be, you know, hey, today I'm going to be the person that makes the pot of coffee at work because, you know, I know, you know, Jenny usually does it, but she's been stressed out. She's got a lot on her plate right now. I'm going to make the coffee this morning. Just little things that you might be surprised how much they really mean to someone that you took that one extra thing.
You don't necessarily broadcast that you're doing that either.
True.
You just do it.
Right, right.
And if the person discovers you did it, well, that's great if somebody rats you out. If they never find out, as long as what was needed and it helped them, what do you care?
Exactly.
You know, it's strange. The one of the examples that you put on your notes here was slugging a parking meter that's about to expire.
I was going to make sure we got to that, actually.
Well, here, two things I'm thinking of. Number one, they're going to hate you in State College because they depend on those fees. It's built into their mm-hmm, budget, mm-hmm. And heaven knows they are the land of enforcement of parking.
Oh, indeed.
Probably even more than Harrisburg. But I know that there have been situations where people have actually gotten in trouble for doing that. So
yes. That was going to be the caveat.
Yeah, check the local gendarmes first because mm-hmm. The idea is that people say, oh, we're trying to enforce parking regulations and keep the spaces open. No, you're trying to make extra money. And if some guy's going down the street and putting quarters in meters when they're about to write him a ticket, you're depriving the city.
Yeah, there is a old TV show skit that comes to mind where someone was doing that. They were just going down the street and putting money in meters, and they got in trouble. Where, one, you have to make sure locally what are the laws, the ordinances in that area. Some places, there's nothing specifying. Some places, there are actually laws that say you cannot put money in that meter if it's not your vehicle that's parked there. You know, it very clearly states that.
Yeah. Now, I wonder, do they have to put a sign up?
I don't know.
Because the ignorance of the law is no excuse, but if you don't know,
you don't know. Yeah. I don't know if they put any of those signs up, but I would say before you decide to run down the street and hit all the meters that are expired, but if you're just, you know, walking, you put money in your meter, you notice the guy beside you has, you know, 1 minute left or he's expired, and you're like, oh, well, I'll just throw another quarter
nickel
in
or something.
I don't think that's the worst thing, and I doubt you're going to get in trouble for that. And I did, because I did some research on that. I was like, ooh, I know that could probably be a touchy one. Just make sure you know, and make sure you maybe just do it here and there. It's not something you want to.
Yeah, I would chance it myself, unless there was an explicit sign saying, hey, you can't do that. The other thing I thought of when you mentioned do a random act of kindness a day, and you don't even have to be a human being. Have you seen the viral video of the bear? There's this bear walking. It's I believe it's in one of the national parks, and he's along a road, and he's coming to a small road with an intersection, and there's some gravel there and working, and there's a traffic cone laying on its side. The bear walks over, glances over, flips his paw on it, turns the thing upright, and then just keeps on walking. So if a bear can do something like that, we can do something like that.
Right, yes.
It can be, and he's not going to get in trouble for slugging a parking meter because he doesn't have opposable thumbs.
That's true.
Let's see. You had a good one here. It reminds me of Jimmy Fallon thank you notes. Write a thank you to somebody.
Yes, and that is really something that I think has fallen by the wayside in the past generation. Is it used to be something, I remember being a kid, and it was if you had a birthday party, or, you know, you write everybody thank you notes, or if you had a graduation and someone gave you a gift, you write everyone thank you notes. I think it's, I don't want to say fading away, I hate to say that, but I don't know if it's just that people are constantly in contact, and those get-togethers were more of an event, that it made more sense to extend those kind of formal thank yous. But even something that's a very simple set of blank stationery cards that just, you know, leave it out for your mail carrier or something like that, that thank you for all you do. And it doesn't have to be anything fancy. It doesn't have to have a gift card in it or anything. Just very simple things that I think you'd be surprised.
It's amazing to me to read about celebrities in past who are very actively writing letters to each other all the time, or just dropping off notes. People who are like, you know, we're talking big names, and they're not having their secretary or their assistant do it. They're sitting there with an actual pen and a note, just say, hey, you know, just to let you know, thanks very much for this, or hey, I really like that performance, or, you know, thanks for donating your time to this cause. Mm-hmm. It meant a lot to me. And we're talking something that takes not even 60 seconds to take care of. It'll take longer to look up the address.
Yeah, and honestly, I did order you can get like a variety package of cards on, I think, Amazon. Just, you have some birthday ones, some blank ones, some thank yous, a little bit of everything. So if something comes up, then you have it.
Yeah, well, you know, then again, some of us remember our folks, mainly our mothers, because Dad was like, huh, I gotta send what? Mothers would encourage you. No, they would tell you, you're going to write a thank you note to Aunt Helen. You're going to write a thank you to Grandma and Grandpa for sending you the nice fill in the blank here. And, you know, they may not be able to read your handwriting, but it's the thought counts.
Right, right.
And maybe eventually it gets better if you learn how to print.
Right. And I think that it is that thought behind it that people don't always realize that, oh, someone did notice that I did something, or, you know, you do feel appreciated maybe when you're having a rough day.
So. Yeah, just awesome. No offense to Amazon, but I found a nice, and they weren't overly expensive, nice set of thank you cards, blank, says thank you, and the envelopes. locally at a brick and mortar, and I got that a few years ago, and I've been going through those occasionally. I hadn't thought it was that big a deal, but you know, then again, considering what's like, well, I hate to keep going back to the internet, but there's the meme where years ago, hey, I got an email, and you're ignoring the stuff that came in the mail. Now it's like, hey, I got a letter. I've got 10,000 emails, but I got a letter that somebody hand wrote.
Right, when it's a real letter, not just
It actually means something. It's not junk mail or
right.
If it comes pre-sorted first class, chances are it's not going to be a handwritten thank you note.
Exactly.
It's WRTA Weekend. Doug Herendine and from ARC Federal Credit Union, Liesl Kaffhammer. And this is Money Matters from ARC. We were talking about paying it forward. We've talked in previous programs. And by the way, those shows are podcasts at WRTA.com and at the ARC website, which we'll tell you about a little bit later about some of the things you can find there. But if you get to the point where you can help out, and we've said time is money, but not in the sense of, oh, you got to use it to make more money, as in using it wisely, as somebody once said, redeeming the time. That can be a way of sharing what you have and paying it forward and helping out. You had mentioned several things about trying to find a charitable organization. Now, if you know something locally and you know they do good work, that's a little easy. But heaven knows, I mean, I have a million people wanting to send me address labels now since I moved. And all I did was, you know, send off one small donation to an organization I knew was good. I got some labels. And now everybody wants, you know, can you give me $5 for these, $10 for these? Like they're barely legible, no. But but if it's a good organization, yeah. But how do you vet these things?
So there are a couple websites that you can refer to. The Better Business Bureau has one. It's BBB Wise Giving Alliance. So they can help you sort through if there are questionable charities or charities that are approved. 501c3 charities are important to look for. Charity Navigator and Charity Watch are also ones that you can look up. That way, if there's something that has been reported, any kind of fraud or scams on a charity that may not actually be a charity, you can search that before you make any donations.
Yeah, the thing, I'm not familiar, well, BBB, I think most people are familiar with the Better Business Bureau and hopefully haven't had to use them for anything.
Right.
But Charity Watch, I had not heard of. Navigator, I find that the interesting thing on there is, you know, and occasionally we'll get somebody sending us a national PSA and the boss said, investigate them before we give them any time. Mm-hmm. And sometimes the answer is a definite no. And other times it's like, wow, they're doing pretty good. But the thing that I like about that is they will tell you what percentage is fundraising and they'll also tell you what they're paying their CEO.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you look there, it's like, oh, you don't need my help.
Right.
No. You're bringing in this much and the CEO's getting that much. No, you don't need another dime from me. And there's somebody else who's doing it for $1 a year. It's like, okay, now I'm interested.
Right. Yes. Yeah. It does help you really make a much more informed decision when you're donating your money. So.
Yeah. So those are a couple of the things to do. But I think word of mouth also. I mean, everybody's got their pet charity. If I asked you for yours, you could probably name some. If somebody asked me for mine, they may have heard us talk to some of them on the radio here about it. But there are ways to find out. And you don't have to be necessarily internet savvy to do all that. It doesn't hurt. And by the way, if you need to look up any of this stuff and you don't have access to the internet, your local library does.
Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If you don't have a, you know, it's so simple, a child of four could do it. Get me a child of four. If you don't have a grandchild or a child that can handle it for you, you can take a look at it that way.
Right. And I know there are still a lot of people in this area that are actively involved in their churches, so that churches always have affiliated charitable organizations. So that's something that you can turn to as well. That those, again, if you're not sure, you can still go to that Charity Navigator, Charity Watch, just to check on it. But usually you're in a local area with that church, so you can kind of see and be involved with the work that they're doing, too.
You were talking about sharing what you have as one of the topics here. And I'm thinking, and this is a way that people may not realize you can do that. I had a theory, which proved to be right when I moved last year. Up to the age of 50, you are acquiring stuff. After age 50, stuff has acquired you, and it owns you. And if you try to move, you're going to find you have more stuff than you could ever want. And some of it is certainly not junk, although some people may think it is. It's still too, well, what am I going to put this in a landfill for? Somebody can actually use this. Right. You can donate this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I will single out one organization only because they take books all year round, and that's St. Vincent de Paul Thrift Shop. And okay. They certainly are a good cause. I don't want to mm-hmm. just mention them, but I'll tell you they do take books. And so do a lot of the libraries before they do the used book sale, but only at certain times of the year. I know that the one organization in State College, I'm trying to remember the AR, no, that's somebody else. It's one that has the huge book sale every year on the Penn State campus. They have more than they can use through most of the year.
Right.
And the books just will sit in the rain if you leave them in the wrong place.
Right. So. Yep. And I know that is a concern. A lot of times people are what used to be referred to as bookworms, and the term has now graduated, I've heard, to book dragons, because now instead of just going through books and enjoying them, you now hoard books. So you have a hoard of books, like dragons would have a hoard of gold.
I got rid of half the books I had, and I still have too many. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, they're heavy. They take up space, but there's an advantage to them you're never going to have with a Kindle or a feeling when you're reading them. Right. No offense to Kindles, you can enjoy it, whatever, mm-hmm. but I'd rather hold a book.
There is something different about holding them. I agree.
But if you want to do that stuff, if you think about it, when you go to some of these thrift stores, all this stuff belonged to somebody else at one time or another.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe they're no longer with us, and maybe they said, you know what, I don't need it. Let's pass it on to somebody else. That's another way to do that, I guess.
Right. Yep. And if you can find something that you actually need and have a use for in a thrift store, you can definitely save some money when buying things that way, too.
Yeah. It's just, you know, some people are going to say, well, it's a matter of, well, you're just cheap. You want to buy something used. Okay. So what's wrong with saving money?
Right. If it serves your purpose and you don't need to have something new with certain bells and whistles, honestly, and that is the beauty of fixing and setting up your budget, is what works for me. Mm-hmm. You know, if it meets my needs, I don't necessarily have to have something brand new. I've been using this coffee table that I got from my friend when they moved, and it works
right
for me. And it's,
hey, my first couch was a coworker who was moving off to another town in radio, and I had that thing for like three different apartments until I finally got a new one, which I've mm-hmm. had for many a year now. So you don't have to replace right away, but also if you want to pass stuff along to those stores, helps out whatever charity it is, pick one. And it can do well for others. And also, mm-hmm. and no offense to any merchants, but I mean, do we have to put all the stuff in the landfill and buy something new?
Right.
If we reuse the stuff, it doesn't hurt. And I'm not against people who want to save the environment, but I'm not doing it only for that reason. It's just practical sense.
Right.
Our grandparents would be, I think, astounded and appalled at what we throw away.
Yes, that's true.
Especially the ones who went through the Great Depression. Both my sets of grandparents did, and they raised families with 7 and 8 kids, respectively. So somehow they managed to do that and still make it through.
Right. It is a different mindset. It's true. My grandfather loves to tinker on things and fix everything.
Yeah.
And he lived through the Great Depression. So it is definitely a mindset. And I think you're seeing more people turn away from that disposable outlook on life, just because you get tired of constantly having to buy something to replace mm-hmm. the thing that's wearing out. And they're seeing that in this current economic environment, it's not sustainable to just constantly be replacing the thing you just purchased mm-hmm. when they're not as cheap as they used to be as far as cost, not as far as quality, but as far as cost. And I think it is something where as it, my generation anyway, we're kind of starting to realize, like, maybe there is value in just trying to keep something and repair it or keep it going if possible. Like you do, you get frustrated with, oh my gosh, why do I have to fix this again? I haven't had it for that long. Or can something just last a little bit longer? We're getting tired of that planned obsolescence and that disposable mindset.
Yeah.
So
we talk with a guy who does antiques and collectibles from time to time on the air. And he says that a lot of people don't want Aunt Mary's china, But at the same time, there's another generation coming along that maybe will buy it for a steep discount at the local thrift store. So maybe a new generation will appreciate it more.
Yeah, I think older generations might be surprised at some of the attitudes that younger generations are beginning to adopt, as much as sometimes the older folks like to poo-poo the younger people and the attitudes they have about certain things. They might be surprised about things.
But also makes economic sense, which is something you've talked about in this program before, and which paying it forward does make some economic sense. You're helping somebody else. And if you help yourself along the way, even if it's just you get a shot of endorphins to feel better for it.
Absolutely.
So you're talking donate funds to your favorite cause, commit to do one random act of kindness a day. You can donate your time, write thank you letters or notes. Jimmy Fallon on the Tonight Show, maybe. Donate your time, share what you have. And anything else to add on that?
No, and I think don't be overwhelmed by a list that size. You know, start small. Like I said, the one random act of kindness a day or something, you'd be surprised the little bit of positive reward you get just emotionally from doing something like that.
Yeah. And before we finish, on the ARC website, there's something about how can I save on summer energy costs? Are you the one that gets to write these?
I am.
Okay. So do you want to just do a few brief things?
Sure. So one thing is if you do have like central air, try and have that professionally inspected and cleaned. That'll keep it running more efficiently. And if you're using wall units or anything like that, always try and keep them maintained and cleaned. You can use smart appliances and smart thermostats so that you can control them more efficiently. They're not running when they don't need to. Put up those thermal curtains, the blackout curtains and things like that in your windows so that you're blocking out extra sun, because that will heat up your house unnecessarily. If you want to cook, cook outside. Grilling is the best option in the summer because it doesn't heat up your house and make your AC work overtime.
And it tastes good, too.
Yes, and it's healthy. All good things. Yeah. time your chores, right? Watch when you're running those electrical appliances, your dishwasher, your dryer, vacuums, anything like that. Try and do that around those off-peak hours and whenever it's not going to heat up your house. I don't know why, but my one vacuum tends to has the air that blows out of it is really warm. I don't know why it does that, but don't add extra heat to your house by running those appliances during peak heat hours of the day.
They got a jet engine in the back or what?
It's a pretty powerful one.
Yeah, I guess. And the thing is, I mean, obviously, if you are, I didn't used to have, but now I have got one of those electronic thermostats. I don't set it because it's like, well, I may not be home by, say, 9 p.m., so why turn the air on now? But when I come in, I can turn it back on, turn it back off as I'm going out, and it helps save a great deal. I think here's one that drives them crazy here, talking to the boss. If the studio is 80 degrees and you set it to get it cooler, setting it to 45 degrees
will not
get it cooler any faster, but it may waste electricity.
Yeah, I would say.
As far as getting to talk to you folks at ARC Federal Credit Union, where are you located?
We are at 1919 7th Avenue in Altoona and at 419 North 7th Street in Juniata, which I know is still Altoona, but just opposite ends.
The Juniata section of Altoona, which is what everybody has to say.
Yes.
But technically it is. Brooklyn is part of New York City, but it's a borough, so, you know, however you want to look at that. As far as the website,
www.arcfcu.org.
And what phone number?
814-946-0857. And you can text or call that number.
Okay. And you're on the directory there and all that?
Yes. If you pull up the website, too, it lists different staff and you can contact. You can search us up if you call by punching in like last names to, or you can just call in and ask for someone. They'll forward you to different extensions.
And we'll have that information on the podcast of this program, which will be up at WRTA.com. A little bit later today, and you'll also be able to find it on the ARC website, right?
Absolutely.
Liesl Kapphammer from ARC Federal Credit Union, Money Matters. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Doug.